Now, this morning, again, I'm going to be talking about the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. I had the privilege of reading a very small book. I don't know how long, but so many years ago, Three Kings. Have you ever read that book? Very small. The Tale of Three Kings. Read it when I was still a young leader. But that book, if you ever find it, it's very small. It was about David, his son Absalom, and Solomon. But to summarize, it talks about how David reacted when Saul was coming after him. And also when he reacted when his son actually took over the throne. Do you know that Absalom took over the throne and David fled? Do you know that? Have you ever read that story? Do you know that David's armor bearer told him that, just get away, I will smite this kid for you. And David said, no. God brought me to this throne. God will keep this throne. The same thing happened when Saul was coming for David. Same thing. Remember in the cave when they said, David, this is the day that the Lord has made. What did David say? Take off the head. What did David say? No. Touch not the anointing of the Lord. Now, as I've grown up and discipled so many people, I've seen like about two major things that can really affect the growth of a Christian person or a believer or even a leader. One of them is greed. A lot of the times when you see an abuse of an office, greed is not absent. Because why would Saul be afraid of David? Actually, David would have been king even when Saul is dead. But because Saul was so greedy as a king that he wanted the throne for himself, persecuted an innocent man. And many times as you grow up as a leader, you can be threatened. And that's why we need to pray for leaders that are after God's own heart. Because a person who understands why they are on the throne will not be afraid and intimidated by others coming up. Apart from you being greedy, that you think the kingdom is not enough for every one of us. I learned that very early, and no one taught it to me, but somehow I think the Holy Spirit helped me to understand it. Not at any one time. If there was one person who didn't want to preach on a Sunday morning, it was me. Why? I pretty much had a lot going on with me. I had my disciples. I had other ministries that were going on. And besides that, the way for me I was raised up, I thought that when I'm there, I'm supposed to be helping my pastor. Not trying to see how to overthrow him. Actually, I heard from Pastor Segun. He says, please, disciples that are disciples, if you're not here to stay, please tell your disciple that as you're discipling me, God has a call on my life, I'll be planting a church in the next 3 years or in the next 6 months. But don't come in here and overtake a man's ministry because you lack discipline and discipleship. So it's usually greed. And because for me, I learned that very early, it's through my life, even at work. That's how I do my stuff. I honestly believe there's enough room for all of us to lead. I believe that. And I practice that, and sometimes it's scary. Other people say they will overtake. Let them take what they can take. If you want to break up the church, take. Take how many do you want? If you know, I've had leaders who have taken members in this church. Did you see me talk about them? Let them take. There are so many people in this world. Do you get what I'm saying? So, learning that, me myself, I began to raise up as many sons and daughters in the faith as I can think of. Because I honestly believe that there is too much room for growth. But the other thing was that I learned, even in that story that I've been growing up, is fine. If you see an abuse of office or a misconduct in a believer, will not miss. Discipler, they have confronted you in an area, but because you're too big enough, you refuse to be corrected. Pride comes into you. And you refuse to be rebuked. No one likes to be rebuked. But you know, when you're rebuked afterwards, it helps you. I learned again long time ago. I have never said no to a rebuke, even when I was the one in right. I will take it in. But you see, the thing is that most times if you're wrong and I say yes, I'm going to hold you accountable because you told me I have this area that I need to work on. So if I'm right, I am going to hold you accountable because you said I'm wrong, I didn't argue, I said yes, I'm going to work at it, and I'm going to raise the standard so up, and then you're going to be found in fault. But if I'm wrong, I take it in. Rarely do I argue about the rebuke. Why? Because as a leader and as a believer, I need to keep on growing. I need to allow others to speak into my life. While I'm saying this, you know that I rarely... Actually, you can count the numbers I preach in this church. You think I don't want to be the main speaker? But because of what I've learned, especially from the scripture, Jesus came, lived on this planet only 3 years. And after 3 years, he left this ministry to a bunch of unbelievers, people who didn't even believe what he said, and he left. The ministry to them. But you would have stayed physically here until now. But you know, if he did that, he would be the only person preaching this message. But he left because he wanted many, 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 many more to be like him and preach this message. And even didn't dictate what the books are going to be even titled. All the books of the Bible are not Jesus, 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 Jesus. You see Luke, you see Mark. Those are people's names. He says he's no brother. Amen? I had a statement one time, and I believe it's true, that for you to be a good father, you have to first learn how to be a good son. And that's not really segregating women in this place, but the Bible calls that sons in the faith. But it's true that if you have never sat down as a son to actually know how to be a son, when it's your time to be a father, how are you going to be a father? So it seems like many of us, or many people in this generation, are in a hurry. I don't know where they are going. But discipleship is a process. It's a process. And while you're hearing me this morning, this thing will not just affect you when we come for service. This thing will affect your lifestyle. This thing will affect your marriage. You don't just arrive and become a good father or husband. The husband or the wife you are right now is as a result of the process that you've gone through. You can't just be faithful overnight. It's the process. The process. Faithful to my wife because I learned to be faithful in the local church. It's the fruit of the Spirit that grew in me that when I married my wife, I don't think about how to be faithful. You get what I'm saying? It's sitting in me. How did that come about? You know, I came in, most of you think we just arrived, but I came in, I got saved about 1920, and I wasn't as obedient as you would think. But through that rough process, you learn a few things that help you in this other life. So when we say that you have to be in a discipleship group, it's for your own good. Yesterday I went to visit, they asked us as parents to go and visit our children at their school and see what they are doing. So I went there. See what my children are up to. Yeah, my children are performing very well in grade. But that's really what, not really what I was interested in. First of all, I was impressed with that school, Apostle Paul. They are teaching them Christo Academy stuff. I'm telling you, I looked into their, they call it religious education. They are teaching them real Bible. I was impressed and said, wow. Wow, baptism, speaking in tongues. Yes, yes. I was impressed. I said, wow, I didn't even know this is happening. I thought it's a Christian school, but it's more than a Christian school. Ask me after the service what school it is. Because I'm advertising for them right now. But the second thing that they said about my kids was their conduct. He says, your kids, and they say this in the first school, your kids are the most disciplined kids. Actually, they said about Josiah, said, Josiah is so disciplined that if he stands up to say something, we know he's right. But that doesn't just come up because they are pastor's kids. It's training. It's hard in our house. You probably will not be in my house. I promise you. If you live with me daily, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, you see the stuff and the way we live in our house, you probably will not stay in our house. Because we don't just want to be Sunday Christians and Wednesday Christians, we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And everywhere we go, even while you're not there, your teachers can say, that boy, that girl, their conduct is unquestionable. But that's a discipleship process that many people don't want to go through. They think it's a waste of time. They think they have outgrown it. I'm actually amazed, very amazed. For those who are getting married, please, hear me very well. I'm very amazed that when people get married, they think they have graduated from ministry and from the things of God. But while before you got married, you were very busy, very active. But when you get married, I don't know what happened. People start to withdraw. The very things that got you married are the very things that you abandon. And then the ship begins to sink. And you think you're not compatible, but the things that brought you together, you're thrown out. The reason why my marriage is strong, of course the Holy Spirit is involved, but we're still committed to the core. And it keeps us committed. It keeps us accountable. And we do it together. And so you tell me how, I know we have our own rough times, but when it comes to the foundation, we are very strong family. Very, and I say very strong family. Why? Because earlier on, my wife found me in a praying movement. Praying movement, upper room. That's where she found me. True story. Actually, to allow my wife and a group of young people, I had to ask pastor. The pastor, there are certain girls, they want to come into my group. This is a men's group. But do you think I can allow them? He said, please. Please just allow them. And that's how they joined us. But she actually thought, I can't propose, I'm so spiritual, because I was that deep. I was that deep, and I still am. Sometimes people think I'm not romantic, because I look serious. You get what I'm saying? I look. But actually, I'm very romantic. I am. Actually, I wouldn't have. I'm known, I would not have a beautiful wife.
Wow.
Young men, you can come and I've been teaching Apostle Paul. Ask him. Ask him. Give him good tips. Help Pastor Timothy Jack. So I'm very good in that area. You know, amazingly, I don't know why, but amazingly, you know, when I was still in school, secondary, you know that I was the guy who people used to come to and write love letters? If you want to write a... Amazingly. I used to do that stuff, like, and I loved it. Guys come, I love this girl.
Describe.
And I'll write for you. I know you don't see that stuff in me, but that stuff I used to do. But discipleship. I know this lesson is short, so I'm trying to lay a foundation. Discipleship. I could say that I am what I am because of the process that I went through. And it's a course. While so many of my friends were busy wasting time, me, I was being taught how to lead a church. While so many of my friends were hanging out on parties, me, I'm being taught how to lead prayer meetings. While so many of my friends are busy doing other things. I'm busy leading big people, responsible people. And you can't just say that I am what I am because of yesterday. No, it's because of the process, and some of it was rough. So I'm saying that the cost of discipleship, it may be sometimes uncomfortable, but as you go through it, you will be glad. You will be very glad. Of the man and the woman you will become. It's costly, I will tell you. It's costly. Because there are so many things that you will have to forfeit. While others are enjoying this, not because sometimes it's bad, but you can't do it. You know, there's this thing that I just evolved within me, and I think the Holy Spirit helped me. And helped me fall out of trouble so many times. It's this thing that I believe I'm a man of God. And because I believe I'm a man of God, there are certain things I don't do, or you won't find me doing. Why? I believe I'm a man of God. Not because I'm going to preach, but no, I'm God's man. The anointing of God is upon me. It's discipline. It's discipleship. And those things helped us to grow. Can you say amen? In Acts chapter 1, very familiar, in verse 8, it says that you shall receive power, right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the scripture says that you'll be my witnesses. But Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 28 and 18 and 19. And said, Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Very clear from those verses that the power that was given to the disciples was to make disciples. Make other disciples was to be witnesses. And as we've said before, a disciple is a student, is a follower, is a learner. There's certain disciples to learn from me. One of them, they know it. You have to respect your wife. And I demonstrate this on my team. The wives or the husbands of my disciples will never see me at any one time disrespecting them. And I'm very careful even when I am rebuking my disciples. I don't rebuke my disciples on phone. Those who are married, I know the wife is going to get it. And read it. And so I thought Pastor Goodwin was like, you mean he's also arrogant like this? So, we do our rebukes verbal. So that when you tell your wife, they won't believe me, they know I'm a nice pastor. I'm joking. But it's to respect. Show respect. So, I can't hear anyone, it would disturb me, I won't sleep. If I find out that Apostle Paul or Pastor Ronald, and Pastor Ronald knows me, he's my brother, he won't come with the wife at my place, and the wife says something, and then I defend him. I will have him for dinner. I will have him for dinner. Because those are things I don't tolerate. I don't tolerate that. As my disciple, you have to respect your wife, you have to respect your husband. As my disciple, you have to give. You have to give. As my disciple, you have to be a little tolerant sometimes. So there are certain things that as as you're teaching, you would expect or you would want your disciples to do. There are some non-negotiables that on my team, they are not, we can't negotiate. There are certain things we can negotiate, but there are certain things we don't negotiate. If you don't give on my team, we will make you give it in the next month. Yes. You had a problem? Yes. You all have a problem. Next month, please make sure you fulfill your pledge. So that the training benefits the student. Without that accountability, we're not going to raise up disciples. Without that accountability, you yourself are not going to grow as a disciple. Now let me tell you this. And as I get into the scriptures to really wind up, because this is going to be a very short session. I came up to my pastor one time and I told him, I give you the right to do it takes to make me the man of God that I have to be. And I meant it. So that means that I threw myself, I made myself vulnerable. And let me tell you, it has never been easy. But I knew what it would do to Godwin. Because I knew Godwin. I knew Godwin very well, that if Godwin is not put in a place where he needs to be, he's never going to amount to anyone or anything. So when I urge you as this church that we get behind the people who are discipling us, it's not because there's nothing to do to, oh, there's a program I want to make up. No, because I know the kind of person you are going to become. I can allow this church to be a shouting church. I can allow this church to be whatever they want to be. But at the end of it all, this, when we live here, we go in different communities, right? We go into different homes. And for me, it bothers me to see a believer. And you hear something about a believer in their home. Akuba mkaziwe, avuma mkaziwe, yeyisa wapi, tasava. That's the expression that I see. Or she disrespects the husband. I feel like I want to tear myself and get out of my skin. Because that's the lack of discipleship. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. Who told you that it's going to be comfortable? It's supposed to be uncomfortable. And many times it will be uncomfortable. But you don't just get out of discipleship just because you feel uncomfortable, just because they said something, just because they didn't mention you, just because they didn't send you an SMS, just because they didn't pray for you, just because they didn't say what you wanted to say. You don't. You stay in. You lock in. Why? Because it's for your growth. Why are you being selfish? Praise the Lord. I'll say this again and I'll say it again, that many times if you're struggling with someone, a lot of the times that, and they don't want to listen, they're not being discipled. And if they're not being discipled, then you're Christian. Okay, la balo power.
I mean,
do you get what I'm saying? Okay, na balo power. I can guarantee you that if you are in that group, when you're single, it's a little bit okay. But when you get married, you even need it more. Have you realized that divorce these days is very easy and it's accepted in the body of Christ? I promise you, as long as I'm pastoring any church, whether it's limited church, I cannot hear any of my disciples even eating on divorce. Don't come to me, go to someone else. Because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I believe in prayer. I believe in the word of God. We will find out a solution, and we are going to make that marriage work. We're going to make it work. If it doesn't work, it's because you haven't come to me. But if you come to me, I have enough faith, tools, to believe that God can actually make that marriage work. Victor can't come to me and say, Chiganye, tugenda kusaininga. I am going to gather the men. I'm going to bring Apostle Paul. I'm going to bring Pastor Soto. I'm going to bring Brother Philemon. I'm going to bring, and we're going to sit him down.
And you ring on
him? Yes! 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 On behalf of the wife, yes! But you see, if he's not accountable, he's not in a group, you tell me, okay, now full of power. You tell me, who's going to help you? And this is true story. This is true story. Most of the women get married to these men because of what they see them doing. Some of them are attracted to them because they are men of God, right? But when you get married, most of these sisters actually now begin to discourage these men to be faithful in the things that they were attracted in them before they got married. And now the brother is taken out of accountability and begins to go for free range, free range, free range. Why? You have taken, it has happened. Many times, I don't know how many times I can tell you, many times. The sisters pull out the brother. Why is he in a group? He's spending so much time. We are trying to keep the brother accountable. Let me tell you about men. If you do not keep a man accountable, I don't care how much spill-filled he is, he will get wild. Especially for us men. So discipleship is very vital. Very vital. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Very vital. Brother Philemon, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's very vital. It's not just a church program. It's to build the Christ character in that man or that woman. And it's going to be rough many times. If you haven't given your disciple freedom to speak into your life, then it's not going to work out. You have to give that man or that woman to freely, freely speak into your life, and you don't have any defense. That's when it's going to benefit you.
Amen.
But if they talk to you and some areas are locked, it's never going to benefit you. I don't know how many times I was stressed this. I remember one time I came to my pastor and I told him, I found this person. He says, no. We didn't even discuss it. He said no. And I also didn't discuss it. I said, you said no? It's me to me, it's not to me. I didn't bring up that topic again, didn't follow up that girl again. He said no. He knows why he said no. I trust him. And you know what? He was right. He was very right. He was so spot on. Today I look back to that person and say, I thank you, God. But it's because I gave liberty to this man to speak into my life. And that's how discipleship is effective. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I really want to get into these scriptures, but I think I'll do an injustice if I really get into the scriptures. Let me follow the train that I'm doing. We'll look at it next week. When I was being discipled, one of the things that I appreciate about the discipleship process, and now I appreciate now that I'm married, is that discipleship process, first of all, it helped me value the things of God. Because every time we sat down, because you see, I wasn't raised like that. No one did that for me in my family. Pastor Ronald will tell you, our family is, it has, like, if you go back, way back, we have preachers. But none of our uncles had ever sat down and discipled us. You could think that we are coming from a lineage of preachers. And I'm talking about very good preachers. Very good. And I said very good, very good. One of my uncles is so backslidden, but I tell you, when he starts preaching, true story, power of God will just fall. People will just begin to manifest. And he does that always. I've seen him do it like every time. You call him Uncle Jangonda Beko, you gather, you start praying, you start teaching. But no one has ever discipled us. And that's when I began valuing the things of God. Because someone began going through the scriptures and told me, Godwin, this is what the Bible says. Godwin, this is what the scripture says. Godwin, this is how. Godwin. So in that process, I began valuing the things of God. And that's why in my home, the things of God are here. Here. Why? I was taught to value church and the things of God. And so, as you grow up, those become things that you don't negotiate. Because you were taught and someone went through the process for you and showed you how. This thing about praying that we were talking about last week, I was taught and I was shown how to pray. I did not have any relationship in my life, and I wasn't open about it. Sir, I found this. What do you think? And sometimes I didn't want him to say no. But you see, you put yourself in a vulnerable place because you want to grow. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So, discipleship is not time that we waste in this church or a group that we're trying to form. It's the way the New Testament church was meant to grow.
Amen.
Jesus got only 12 men. And I want you to read the Gospels. Let's take a look into it. But I want you to see that every time when he left the crowd, he would say, he's 12. I wanted to go through the scriptures today, but we can't. I'll do injustice. I will be in a rush. And he'll bring those 12 guys and he'll explain the parable of the sower. This is what it means. The demon didn't go out. This is what it means. He did that because of that. This is what it means. To those 12 men, he would come back every day and he would explain to them. Yes, the crowd were there, but the 12 were more important to him than the crowd. That's why you see Jesus didn't build a 50,000 church. It was this small group. This small group. that he used to fall down every single day. He explained to them. It looks like he doesn't even care about the crowd. Now look into the character or the characteristics of this guy. Liar, thief, doubters. Some of you are better than them. But look at what they became. Men who turned the world upside down. Because one guy believed in them. One. Sat them every day. What their parents couldn't do. That's why Jesus says, my parents, my sisters, my brothers are those who do the will of God. And that became his family. And they changed the world upside down. Because Jesus took the time. Jesus took the time to disciple them. You see, the problem they're having right now is the discipleship problem. Because we have men with ego, they think they can pastor 50,000. Now, you can't pastor 50,000. You can't get intimately connected to 50,000 people. It's impossible. That's what I say. The Bible advocates one wife. Because you can't handle two. Because you're seeing, you're not understanding. Let me talk in a language that you understand. You can't be intimately so much in love with two wives or two husbands. As I'm speaking about that, it's come to my notice. And you won't see this, but if you are staying in areas where the second class people are staying, you will notice it a lot. There are so many side chicks or side dishes. And the reason why I know, they don't work. They have posh cars. You don't work and you have posh cars, where do you get it from? And it doesn't look like you're married. No one is showing up at your door. Maybe once in a while. So, how would I conclude that? That your distant marriage? No, that is your side chick. But you know, it's a very popular trend nowadays. And it's okay. And some of them are believers.
And they give testimony.
Yeah, they give testimony. Let me tell you, if we don't change the way church is being done, we're heading to a more terrible time. Terrible time. The church where there's no accountability, the church where there's no discipline, we cannot influence society. Forget about your preaching the gospel. You can't change anyone in society when we have not yet dealt with ourselves. We can only change them if we have created a culture so strong within ourselves that we know we will change them. Amen? And so for me as a disciple, I pray a lot for my disciples. A lot. Almost every time I'm praying for my disciples. almost. But a time is going to come, and very soon when this church grows big, if we have not corrected this path, I don't think we will change this city, this nation, the way we would want to. Other people need to come in when we have created the culture. Other people need to come in when they find it inside. Sometimes I like those traditional churches because I know it goes extreme, but they have that thing in there where the members really appreciate the values and the leadership of their pastor. It's taken off board sometimes or overboard, but there's a principle in there. But when you come here, especially in the urban, it's missing. Maybe first of all, it's because for us, the way we portray church in general, we don't commit to anyone. The Holy Spirit is our guide. So, it makes pastoring sometimes very difficult. Some people are told, you don't submit to anyone. And sometimes the one who are saying don't submit, when they come, they also put requisitions of submission. So you wonder what's happening. So if you're hearing my voice this morning, as a disciple, do it for yourself. And I know that many years from now, you're not going to regret it. And if you have children, push them in. If you're married, push that person in. Let them go through the system. If they are not yet in, or you miss that stage, one of the things I recommend right now is to pray dangerous prayers. You know good dangerous prayers? I teach you how to pray dangerous prayers. Father, I pray that even while they are in bed, they will be uncomfortable. They will be uncomfortable because the call of God is wrestling within them. Father, I pray as they are going out, Lord, you will stir up their hearts. Lord, I pray that they will not rest until the response. That's how I pray. Especially if I know someone is going astray, I start praying dangerous prayers like that. Lord, I pray that all their bad friends will go out of their way. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bring good accountability. You bring good friends around them. Lord, I pray if it's the boss, Lord, I pray you will remove him. Dangerous prayer. Or he will change. I start praying prayers like that. Why? I believe that the Holy Spirit has brought you into my life for a purpose. And I'm not going to waste that opportunity just because I want to be famous. And if you're there, and you need help, please shout. We're not going to judge you. The only thing we're going to do is to help you. That's why discipling groups are there. It's to keep ourselves strong. It's to help one another. You know that if you came up and you had an issue, and you mentioned it to one of us, and we feel we can't handle it, do you know that we'll gather ourselves and find strength and see how we can help one another? We're still small. But that culture can grow, can be built. So that when the other people come into the fold, they find that strong culture. Discipleship is not bad. It's the best thing that can ever happen to you. I don't have problems with my wife, because most of the stuff that would have struggled with, someone helped me. Another woman helped me to disciple her. And again, I don't know why some men are also funny. They see another woman meeting with another woman, and they have a problem with it. They're trying to help you. They're shaping that woman for you. So let them meet. If it's wrong, let them. You will get the benefits out of it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Especially nowadays. You don't just get a good wife. I don't know why it's difficult. And you don't just get a good man also. It's not that easy. Amen? But through these discipleship programs, through this discipleship fellowship,
we can develop.
We can refine. Because many of us were not refined, but they refined us. And when you get into the marriage, it becomes, you know, young people are, you know, Apostle Paul used to ask me, why are people discouraging me with me? I said it's because they haven't really sat with someone who enjoys marriage. That's why they are discouraging you. But you sit with someone who is enjoying marriage, you would want to. The following morning, you'd want to get married. But it's because some people have had it rough. I don't know whether I made my point. I gave you my notes, but I didn't get into my notes. But I felt like I had to say this, because sometimes, especially while I was praying yesterday, it became so evident that for us as a church, we need to make this as, emphasize this as strong can get. We cannot allow our children grow up in an environment that is not spiritually strong. We cannot allow our wives just do whatever they want to do. You've seen my wife come for Bible class. You've seen my children come for Bible class. It's not that, well, I'm a pastor. No. It is a commandment in our home. Thou shalt go for Bible class. Even when you leave, thou shalt go for Bible class. It's a commandment in our home. Now, my children are very excited about Wednesday. Very excited. But you think it started like that? The first time they will tell you, again, daddy? But I said, discipling them, I said, Jesus is the main thing in this house. Don't forget. The bed that you're staying on, you're sleeping on, Jesus provided. The school that you go to, Jesus pays that school fees. The ice cream, the jabbers you go to. So, please, the least you can do is come and study about him. So nowadays they like it. They actually remind me earlier in the night to carry their Bibles, because they are looking forward to it. It's a is discipleship. So when they grow up, you think I'm going to have a hard time bringing them to church? I think last Sunday, Gustav spoke in tongues. Because I've seen him bubbling, he was crying last Sunday. But how do they get at the environment? You put them in the environment. Put them in the environment. I'm saying all this to say that if you think you are going to just manifest the Christian character into your home, into your life, miraculously, it's not going to happen. And if you think you're going to do it on your own, let me tell you in advance, you won't. You need another man, you need another woman to speak into your life. Amen? Before I know my time is up. But I've got into this habit of really praying a lot. And last night I was praying, I really felt a burden just fall upon me for all our married in this church. I don't know why, when I began praying for the married, and I think we need to we need to do something about our homes and our wives and our husbands. I have just a few things as I was praying that we can do. But please pray. Pray for your loved ones. Don't give up on your husband. Don't give up on your wife. You continue praying. But most importantly, for those who are discipling, Pastor Ronald, Victor, Brother Philemon, Apostle Paul, Pastor Soto, I'd want to end with, if you can, because the thing is that if you start praying for someone, compassion builds. Compassion will build. And you would treat them and even be more interested in their life. You know, as you're praying, the Spirit of God will talk to you, but also you begin, compassion begins to build. I don't know how I can explain it. And then you feel, I need to talk to Brother Robert after the service. By the way, I need to talk to you after the service. I need to talk to Sister Robina after the service. Why? Because you've been praying for them. By the way, I was praying for you. Serious. I'm not just saying it. I'm Robina. Because you've been praying for them. Amen? Get concerned. You even if you think of, let's get a car. You know, I'm believing God for that. All that stuff. But what about the brotherhood? The brotherhood. We come here and pray about everything we're going to get. Do you know how Brother Brian slept? When was the last time you prayed for him? Do you know that guy gives us the audio? Every single way. Are you praying for them? They missed last service. Are you praying for them? The brotherhood, we missed it. That's what keeps the warmth in the local church. That the warmth is there even when the discipline is comes. You understand, you're not offended because the warmth is there. You know the people love you. You know the people, they are for you. It's discipleship. If there's anything I want you to pray for those who are listening, my voice, you haven't yet discipled anyone, is to pray for your disciples. It's because God brings you that man or woman to help you reach your destiny. I don't think I'll be here if someone didn't pick me by the hand. Because it even wasn't in my head to be a preacher. It took someone to talk to me every now and then. that you will be a pastor. You laugh it off, they come back the next time and then you will be a pastor. It's discipleship. Amen?
Amen?
Can we stand like last week? 1 or 2 minutes.